This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, the greatest intro in sports talk radio. Easily the greatest intro in sports talk radio. Even on ESPN Plus, the graphics are out of this world.
Dylan. The hottest graphics and intro to all shows.
Barton Hahn. And then Bart's been spitting hot fire. I might have, in the first hour, 10 minutes of talk time.
I want you to rest your
But that's
focus.
All right, though. That's all right. This is what we do. We take turns. But right now, we're going to give as it's obviously Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, is presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Let's get all that out of the way. And speaking of the Goodyear Hotline, Brian Windhorst joins us right now. We'll let him.
Speaking of hot fire.
Yes, spit that hot fire on what's going on in the NBA right now. Wendy, good to talk to you. Thanks for coming on with us. So another NBA game has now been postponed, the Hawks and the Suns. That's now 6 in Sunday, 7 overall. Do we have a problem? And is it something that could lead us to the league maybe pausing at least, maybe not shutting down, but pausing for a bit until they can get this thing under control? I'm not hearing him. All right, check engine lights back on. Yeah, I don't think I hear Brian, so if he is responding, I'm not hearing what he's saying.
Well, I apologize.
So we have to unmute? Is that what we're doing?
Is Ashton Kutcher around?
I was unmuted.
Did you just bump us, Wendy?
That's tremendous.
It's my first time using a phone. I'm so sorry. I'll learn to get better.
We have a check engine light that pops up because it's gremlins all over our show. We always have technical issues, so please, all you did was just be part of the show. So it fit right in perfectly what you did.
Thank you. Pausing is the last thing they want to do. The reason these games are being canceled or postponed right now is because of contact tracing. Yes, there are some positive tests, for sure, but it's because one player is positive and then they have to sit 4 or 5 or 6 players down for tracing that's causing this. And that's why they are putting in these new protocols, because some of the reason that guys are putting into contact tracing is because they spend too much time close to other players. They have these tracking devices, both in-game and out, that determines how close they are. And so if they keep them spread apart, the idea, I can't predict the future, but the idea is in the event of positive tests, there will be less people who have been exposed, less players have to be shut down. The other thing is the epidemiologists believe that January is going to be our worst month. Boy, am I knocking on wood that that's true. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. And that once you get through this, it'll be better. I don't know. But the real concern, if I were the league, is that we had the Suns postponed today. They just played the Wizards. The Wizards had games shut down after they played the Celtics, who had games shut down because of positive tests. I don't know if this spread is happening on the court, but the NBA is operating in their season because they don't believe that COVID can spread in the game. And I don't know what the threshold would be. I don't know how that they would do that. But if they somehow were worried about that, that would be something to keep an eye on. I have not heard that that's the case, but you're seeing a bit of a linking of teams who played each other recently being shut down. And so that's what I'd be watching if I was the league.
Great point.
Now, you know, how important is it for the Players Association to kind of reach out to its members and say how important this is? Because, like you said, we all believe that January is going to be the worst month coming off of the New Year's and it's in the holidays, Christmas celebration. We know that it's an incubation period before things really, you know, tests become positive. But, you know, you hear some of the comments from George Hill. And how important is it for us to be able to kind of get everybody on board? Because if the players aren't on board, then, you know, this thing can get out of control and the season could be in jeopardy of being at least paused for a short moment before the leagues are able to start maybe getting vaccinations, maybe in March once we get more of the general population, vaccinated.
Bart, you're bringing up a good point because the union is in a really tough spot right now because, what George Hill said isn't wrong. Like, I mean, his point is, you're saying that I can play basketball next to somebody, but I can't talk to him. You know, you're saying I can't, you know, I can go run up and down the court for 40 minutes, but I can't leave my house. I mean, from a common sense standpoint, I understand what he's saying. The union is agreeing to this, and that's why it's enacted. The NBA can't just pass these rules down and post them on the door and say, this is the rules. But the union is also trying to hold paychecks together for the 450 players. Because if you shut the league down, those checks are going away, and already the players are looking at 15 to 20% of their salaries being wiped out this year. They're trying to hold the thing together economically. And Adam Silver said the same thing. The reason they're playing is they believe in their protocols, but also because they're trying to save the economy of the league. And so it's hard. And the other thing is, when the vaccine comes, you know, there are certain things that NBA players have to do medically to go out on the court. I don't have the exhaustive list, as I'm sure in the NFL, before you played, there were certain things that had to be done. Certain tests had to be done. Yep. Certain things you had to do in your physical that are mandated with the union and the league. What's going to happen with the vaccine?
Yeah.
Are they going to mandate that you have to take the vaccine? Because we already know that there are players who've been out there talking about how they're skittish about this. And if there isn't a mandate, is there going to be two sets of rules, players who get it and players who don't? So even while we're getting through this difficult period with the union working on these rules, there's another big giant thing on the horizon that I don't know. And the way it's going to work out, the NBA is going to be the guinea pig. Because, you know, baseball, when the vaccine becomes widely available, we think, yep. I guess the NHL is around, but we'll see. But the NBA is going to be the one who has to deal with this, you know, and it's going to be baseball and football watching because it's just the way it's going to fall on the calendar.
That's sort of how it went also the first time around through the bubble and everything else. The NFL was the league that had a draft, but other than that, didn't really have to get to business until well into the pandemic when there were a lot of adjustments and everything else made. And, you know, they had to deal with a lot of the COVID stuff with some of their teams, including one team that didn't even have a quarterback at one point, but they had to play the game. And baseball had to go through it as well. With the NBA out of the bubble, the NHL certainly as well, that is something that is going to have to be trial by error and just go through it and get the experience of it. But hopefully it's short term at this point, unlike last year where it felt like we were only in the beginning. Brian Windhorst joins right now, giving us the straight talk. So, Brian, all right, so off of that topic, and that would seem to be the biggest drama going on in the NBA right now, but it's I don't think it even comes close compared to two stars in the league, one in Houston and one in Brooklyn. You pick it. Wendy, tell me, which of the two stories, Kyrie Irving or James Harden, has you the most, like, I guess it's to me, I use the word maddening. I mean, you and I have covered the league a long time. Like, we've seen a lot of these kind of stories. But which of the two has you just saying, like, this is an absolute joke, this story? Which one?
Well, Harden is following a script. He wants out of there. He, you know, and this has happened in the league for decades. Star player wants something, whether it's to be traded, to have another player traded, or have a coach fired. And they basically protest it in one form or another until they get what they want. And, you know, there's, you know, as far as I know, no traction on Harden talks. And so basically he's trying to turn up the heat. He's turned up the heat with his play over the last week because he's basically playing half speed as far as I can tell. I mean, he's not even going to the line anymore. He's basically on quasi-strike. And it's still not happening fast enough. So he's going to the next checklist, which is to go public and apply more pressure. That's sort of, you know, a classic NBA star player move. There's aspects of it that are interesting, you know, especially the trade market for him. But the Kyrie thing is totally unique because of the fact that he's breaking league rules totally. And, you know, has his team somewhat in the dark, or it seems like it. And to me, the most fascinating thing in the NBA right now is, what does Kevin Durant think of this?
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole way this partnership comes together, and I still, 2+ years on, the players that Durant could have paired up with and the teams he could have paired up with 2 years ago were exhaustive. He could have stayed put in Golden State. He could have gone to L.A. and played with LeBron and AD. He could have gone to L.A. and played with Kawhi. He could have gone to New York, to the Knicks, and played with another star. He had other options. He, you know, could have gone to Dallas or something like that. That he chose the Nets and Kyrie, and that he made that choice in February, not even letting the process play all the way out. You know, by the time Kawhi called him and was like, hey, you know, when Kawhi started shopping for star teammates, he went to Durant, and I know Durant was out, but Kawhi was still interested in playing with him. And if you see the way he's playing right now, I understand why. And he chose Kyrie in the Nets. To me, other than the shot that Kyrie hit out in Oakland a few years ago, the greatest accomplishment of his career is getting Durant to commit to the betrothal. Not only getting into the marriage, but getting into the marriage in February and closing that deal. It's amazing.
Betrothal.
And so now, while we see things going sideways, where's Durant's head on this? What does Durant think? Because Durant and Kyrie are running that organization. With all due respect to Steve Nash and Sean Marks, if they were telling you the truth, they are running it. And Durant is now in a position where he can take it alone if he wants it. And so, to me, that's everything for the future of the Nets. What does Kevin Durant think of this?
Now, you read my mind because I mentioned that earlier in the show because I feel like there are two cars passing in the night, but eventually they're going to come to an intersection point where, you know, KD is going to have to make a tough decision. Because is there any way that the Nets could move Kyrie if Kevin Durant says, hey, this guy's too unpredictable? He's like the Kanye West of basketball. You don't know what the hell he's going to be into. He could be holding choir service, you know, in Brooklyn or in Harlem one day. He could be somewhere else. Like, he's so unpredictable. And I think KD's probably realizing that he hitched his wagon to a train that he don't know what direction that is going to go. So is there any way that maybe KD comes to a point? Because, listen, this isn't the first organization that Kyrie blew up. He blew up the Celtics organization that thought that he was going to be all in, and he blew that and left that place a mess. And from his teammates,
and he told LeBron to stick it, which Durant, I'm going to say it, Durant was aware of those things when he got into the marriage. You know, it wasn't like that stuff was not known. Guys, I honestly don't know. I don't know where – I kind of made a decision a couple years ago that I was not going to analyze what Kyrie did off the court because it was too difficult. And not only did I cover Kyrie for years in Cleveland, I spent a day on the Standing Rock Sioux Native American Reservation in North Dakota with Kyrie, one of the most remarkable days of my career. I have never covered anything like that when Kyrie went through his sort of adoption into the tribe because his mother was a member of the tribe and he had, you know, and I learned a lot about his family, and his family is incredibly complex and complicated. And so he's incredibly complex and complicated. He comes from that. And I don't know what's going on. What I will say is this: Kyrie has made it very clear with his actions and some of his words that basketball is becoming less of a priority to him. And so knowing that, I think that has to inform the way the Nets and Durant look at this. And if I was considering having Kyrie on my team, that's the way I would have to look at it too. And that's just a reality. I have no idea what else, but I mean, some of the stuff that he's said and done has led to that conclusion.
And Brian, you still have, you know, the rest of this year plus two more years with that option, obviously, at the end of that contract, what, $48 million, whatever it is, to pay him. And it's guaranteed money that only a fool would walk away from. But I'm with you when you talk about, like, this is the Kyrie we've known now. Like, you knew this about him. So what kind of accountability do the Nets get here in, all right, you hand him the keys and the prize was Kevin Durant? I said the same thing early in the show, so I'm glad you said it. Great minds think alike. You know, his greatest contribution will be that you got arguably the second best player in the world to join the Brooklyn Nets. But still, as a franchise, for them to just kind of sit back here and let this happen, it's a bad look for the league, and it's certainly a bad look for an organization that just isn't showing much backbone here about a player who is coming and going as he pleases while they are a 500 team right now.
Alan, it's already gone. They don't. Their chance of accountability is already gone. They let the guys fire the coach. They let the guys, you know, dictate the roster. They let the guys dictate who's starting. You know, it's gone. I don't think there's coming back from it. And I don't know if it's Steve Nash's fault or not. I would say that Steve Nash taking the job was a stunner to me on so many levels.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine the way that he wrestled with taking that job, because he could have waited for another 20 years and not had an opportunity to take over the type of team. So, like, I kind of get it, but I don't think in the current incarnation, it's salvageable to all of a sudden introduce accountability. I mean, they can try. They could fine him for this behavior. They could try some disciplinary action. They could say they're going to turn over a new leaf. But when they signed those two guys, they yielded control of the franchise. And they could come on to this show and pound the table and say that's not true. But that's the actions speak louder than words. And the thing is, I respect both Sean and Steve. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not even saying that I would do it differently, because the ability to get that type of talent, you probably do mortgage yourself like that because of the rarity of their talent. And like we're saying this in January, if Kyrie comes back and gets re-engaged, we could be talking about them in the Eastern Conference Finals about whether they can win a title.
Exactly.
And so really, that's what you're holding on to. That's the rope you're holding on to.
Yep.
You know, it's crazy because early on in the NBA season with COVID, with, you know, Harden, with Kyrie, I feel like I'm watching an episode of Days of Our Lives or General Hospital, because every day it's another sub-story. I can't even keep up with them. But another one is Bradley Beal, because Bradley Beal said he wanted to stay, you know, with Washington his entire career. But now early on in this season, I think that he looks miserable. Yeah, he looks miserable. He's putting up, you know, every time he has a career high, he always loses. And it just hasn't really worked and translated into victories, you know, with Russell Westbrook. So could you potentially, because I don't think now with Dinwiddie being hurt, that the Nets have enough to get a star like Harden, because he's going to cost you too much. But do they have enough ammunition maybe to bring a third star in like Bradley Beal, who was rumored, you know, early on, and now if Kyrie goes off on a tangent, now you still have the two superstars that you hope to have. And Kyrie can become a bonus?
No way. If Bradley Beal decided he wanted to leave Washington, I think he would get more in trade than James Harden would.
Wow.
Because A, he's younger. B, he's in better physical condition. And C, he won't rock the boat.
Are you fat shaming? Are you fat shaming Harden right now?
You think I'm fat shaming somebody? I'm just saying. You know, James Harden is 31 years old, and yeah. I would not gamble that in 2 years he would be in better his condition is going to improve.
Yeah, fair.
You know, if you're trading away three first round picks and all your best assets for somebody, and you're looking at thinking about extending his contract and paying him $50 million a year, I'm not sure I want to make that bet. Whereas Bradley Beal, I know, would fit in and has been in, you know, has been healthier and not healthier, but he's in, you know, better condition. So if Bradley Beal came on the market, I think even though Harden is an MVP and a better player, I genuinely believe Beal would fetch more. But he's not on the market. I mean, we can project, and I wouldn't tell you that it was a bad projection, but he's not on the market.
So he's not right now, but can you see a potential for it happening? I know Washington doesn't want to do it, but it's been like this, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire kind of thing with him for about a year or two now. Can you see it happening, or do you feel like it's even though you'll see rumors out there, he's never getting traded? It's a non-story. Where would you put it now?
I would never say never. I would say this: if we get to March and the Wizards are in 14th place, then I think it's a conversation. But I don't think it's a conversation right now.
All right. Well, that's one name that a lot of fans certainly would be excited about, and a lot of the big teams, the good teams, would want him. I think even bad teams obviously would want him as well. And that trade deadline, when it does come in March, it'll be real interesting to see where a lot of these teams are and who's going to be buyers and who's going to be sellers and everything else. And, Brian, let's just hope we get there, as obviously with postponing games, that is a bit of a concern. So let's just hope we get to that trade deadline and have more to talk about. But we appreciate you. Always great to have you on. Thanks, Wendy.
Take care, guys.
All right.
You gave me a lot of bar talk.
Brian Windhorst.
Bar, I can talk some crack.
I like it, yeah. He was giving a straight talk.
He told me what straight talk was.
Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. And I had to laugh when he said, you think I'm fat shaming somebody? But I know what he was saying about James Harden.
Yeah, yeah. Because
he looks terrible.
He struggles.
Physically looks terrible. And Bradley Beal is in tremendous. Like, he clearly is a more valuable player right now. but who's the better player in tip-top shape? Different.
But Harden could be following the script, though. He could be following the script. Let me show that I'm out of shape.
Yeah.
You know, let me eat extra. You know, let me get off the diet. Let me.
No. I love what Wendy said, though. There's a checklist for players on how to get out of here. And that checklist, he's
on number five. He's on number five now because now you come directly at your teammates. So now you put the organization saying
now it's a locker room issue.
Right,
exactly.
Right. So he's on part five of going, you know, because we watched this with Anthony Davis.
He's going full Tropic Thunder.
Right, nobody talks about Anthony Davis and when he wanted out and how he tried to.
Well, what did he end up doing? He stopped playing too.
My point. And then they stopped getting him, you know,
Ellie hitting him from his right. And then all of a sudden he wasn't getting minutes.
He was getting booed. He was getting booed and all that stuff. So, it's funny because we view Anthony Davis and how he forced his way out differently than Harden. And Harden has been there, much like Anthony Davis did, put in work. Anthony Davis was putting in work year in and year out. And at some point, you're like, man, this is – you're watching everybody around you. You're watching teams and organizations that were worse than you pass you. You're like, hold up.
Yeah.
Hold up. Arizona, it's just like me in football. Hold up. The Cardinals – win consistently now? Like, hold up.
Yeah. No, there's certainly no doubt about that. Now, again, we'll see where it goes, but I just – all those little things that Windhorst was telling us, though, little pieces there were really good to keep an eye on as this whole story goes forward, including the fact that what he said about the Brooklyn Nets is accountability, that's out the window. There's no way of getting that back, and all you do now is hold on to the hope that at some point Kyrie does want to play.
You know how to speak
and
to
does and can play – and it turns into something magical that if for 1 year, if you get that ring, it's worth it.
You know how to speak to him.
It's absolutely worth it.
That's the thing. They just need to call the right person.
It's just a bad out. For the league, it's terrible. Yeah. It's for fans, it's terrible. But if it ends, and that, I think that's what it is. You sell your soul for that one chance to get that ring, and that's all that matters.
Jay, pink quartz, sage. You got to understand. You see, when I go to counseling, they say, hey, you got to learn your wife's love language. You speak with him with symbolic things. You know, you go get him some jade. You make a jade Buddha for him. You go get him some pink quartz because that symbolizes
love. I thought you
meant
the R&B group,
and you,
Jade.
And you burn sage.
Love Jade back in the 90s, man. Coming up, we have audio files. That is next. Man, the headlines in the NBA quartz these days. You got Knicks Nets tonight on ESPN at 7:30. KD will be in the lineup. Kyrie not. Obi Toppin might be in the lineup tonight for the Knicks.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
The lottery pick from Dayton, the player of the year in the country, and then college player of the year. So all that coming up. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I like Drake 2 days in a row. You know what I'm saying?
Why not? Why not?
Shout out Drake.
ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN app, your smart speaker.
I love when you do that accent.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. In today's political climate, I think it's important, as I'm seeing so many of my friends on Facebook, not as much anywhere else, but Facebook is where all the people you grew up with, right?
Yeah, that's family. That's
and I see so many people.
Your grandma on Facebook.
Everybody has become a political science major or some type of a civics expert and all that stuff. And everybody's got something to say, and it's great. And all I said was, on Netflix, there's this Death to 2020 movie. Samuel Jackson's in it, and several other actors, and it's a parody. It's a parody of us. It's laugh at yourself, people.
Yeah.
Like, we all, act up sometimes, and we just say and do dumb things, and we take ourselves too seriously. Yeah. And if there's anything to learn from 2020, is don't take yourself so seriously. And as I said yesterday, treasure every minute, every moment, and don't waste your time so much on some of this emotion that clearly a lot of us are wasting our time on. So if you get a chance to see it, Death of 2020, it's hysterical, but it's laughing at ourselves, and I got to remember to mute that after the FaceTime. So anyways, I just needed to get that out because it just something reminded me of
it.
As I'm looking at Twitter and I'm seeing people, that picture we put up, and I said, tag team back again. We had a great picture of us in front of the bridge, and somebody said that I look like I'm at least 30 years older than you.
No, that's because
which
I was moving.
Which is offensive.
No, that's because I was moving, you know what I'm saying? Yo, you stood up straight.
Well, I have to. Because if I did what you did, I'd have to.
L5
would be out of place or something
Shout out
that.
To the Whoop That Is tag team, you know what I'm saying? They
got
a
commercial.
They came back.
Come
is
on, one of the best commercials, isn't it? It's hysterical.
And the crazy thing is, a lot of our kids and a lot of young kids don't even understand what that is. They're like, who are these dudes in here just talking
Scoop.
About?
Scoop, there it is.
Shaka-laka, sprinkles.
Whenever the dad first walks in, he's like,
and he's also like, shaka-laka. And the kid is just like, what the hell is going on with this Curtis Blow rap?
Oh,
but I tell
God.
You what, man, that's what I love. What's old is new again. And like, it's kind of like discovering, whether it's The Mandalorian, you know, all these old movies coming back. And I'm sitting here and I'm just watching it.
It's comfort food. It's
right.
Comfort
but
food.
But I'm looking here and I'm sitting down and my kids are trying to give me the spiel. Like, I don't know what the hell this is. Like, hold up, man. This may be new to you. This is a rerun for me, youngster.
Right.
Shut up and let me tell you. You know what I mean?
There were two versions of the song.
Yeah, they're talking about Thundercats. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know who Lionel is. Like, I don't know Give Me Sight Beyond Sight. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know Thunder. Or I don't know Snarf. You know what I mean? I don't know nothing about Transformers. Like, are you kidding me? You going to try to tell me about Optimus Prime? Are you shut up, kid. You're new to this. I'm true to this.
You talk to your kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So aggressively.
Yeah. I'm sorry. They're probably going to be in therapy later in life, but it's okay. Say it with your chest.
Mine just climb on me.
Say it with your chest. Daddy, can I go
outside? I'll tell you what. Around the world of sports, people like to say it with their chest. And we like to play it for you in something we call audio files.
The audio file. The audio file.
All right, let us begin with the topics we were just talking about with Brian Windhorst a moment ago throughout the NBA. And that is some drama that's going on. And one of them being James Harden saying, I've done all I can. Checking off every box, like Wendy said, on how to get out of here. What's next? He's going to call out the head coach, right? But this box now that he checked is, we don't have enough talent. We don't have enough talent to compete. And so when you hear, you were in the locker room. Yeah. If you heard a guy on your team talking to me and say, we don't have enough talent, wouldn't you just be like in the background going, who's this we? Right? So John Wall heard this, of course, and he did not like it. And so his response to James Harden sounded like this.
Any day, a lot of guys here want to compete at a high level. And like I told everybody tonight, I told the guys before, when the 1-15 guys all on the same page and they commit, they know their role, they know what they want to do, they know what they want to get out of this, that's the win, you all will be fine. But when you have certain guys in the mix that don't want to buy in all as one, it's going to be hard to do anything special or do anything good as a basketball team. I've been on those teams. My leverage has been the lead. I've been on a team like that my first 5 years where it was all about me, not about the team. And that hurts. And it brings everybody down. So when we can get all on the same page, we can be something good here. And we can't dwell down on it because it's only been 9 games. Like, come on, man. You want to jump off the cliff off of 9 games? There's a lot of basketball still to be played.
Yeah, James Harden's like, absolutely. Guess what, man? Y'all the Titanic. I've already jumped in the life raft first because I was down there when I heard the crash. I jumped in the lifeboat. I said, forget it. I'm going to save myself. Because guess what? I was on this boat and this ship before you. We just picked you up. So you are optimistic. You happy because you got out of where you were at and you think it's all fun in Houston. But I know how this story ends. So I'm out of here, bro. Listen, I've been here, done that. Listen, and guess what? The last star you played with, he ain't like you either. So guess what? It's a reason for that, bro. And now you're going to bring Boogie? Yeah, this would be great for us to add Boogie to our team. 5 years ago, This dude got no quad, no Achilles, and the game has changed. And he was a defensive liability before, so I'm not about to stay here. I'm 31 years old. I've been the MVP candidate for the last 3 years. Y'all can rebuild. Y'all can do this. I'm going to make my next move my best move, and I'm going to get up out of here, and I'm going to check box 5. Yeah, I'm saying, I am better than y'all. Yeah, I am talking about y'all. Y'all some scrubs. What he need to do is pull up to practice like Jimmy Buckets did when he was with Minnesota and say, game blouses, me versus all of y'all, give me all the scrubs. You talk about the 15, well, give me number 14, number 13, number 12, number 11, and I'm going to kick y'all ass and show y'all how scrubbed out y'all are. Mr. Wall, you can Dougie and do all that somewhere else, bro.
Yeah, he's checking off boxes. All right, so you tick off a teammate. Next up, if you're Steven Silas, all right, well, I'm next. Yeah. He's coming after me next time. Meanwhile, George Hill, as the NBA is tightening the screws on some of its COVID protocols, now not allowing players to do more than just go straight from the arena, straight from the practice facility to your hotel or to your house. Yeah. Don't fraternize with other players. He can't understand it, and he gave us the old, I'm a man, I'm 40. Take a listen.
I mean, I'm a grown man, so I'm going to do what I want to do. If I want to go see my family, I'm going to go see my family. They can't tell me I have to stay in a room 24-7. If it's that serious, then maybe we shouldn't be playing. But, you know, it's life. No one's going to be able to just cancel their whole life for this game, and that's how I think about it.
Well, first of all, before you start, Bart, let me just add, yes, they can tell you what to do. You signed a contract, and in that contract, it's called an agreement to follow certain rules and, yes, protocols that your union, that you're also a member of, has agreed to, as you see them right now on ESPN+. So, yes, they can tell you what to do, just like I can tell you you can't dribble the basketball outside of that court. Outside, well, if you go further than 94 feet, I blow the whistle and take the ball away from you. That's a rule. So they can tell you what to do when you are playing in their league. And if you don't want to, you have the right to opt out. But you shouldn't have the right to collect that money. So if you want to play and collect the money, then you follow rules. If you don't want to, you can go home and I don't have to pay you. That's just how it works, Bart.
But you know what's funny, right? Because I remember, and I agree with you, but I'll be good cop, bad cop. So you're a bad cop, I'll be good cop. In George Hill's defense, right, it has to be collectively bargained. And maybe it was collectively bargained, but I remember when I was part of the NFL, it was one guy that never paid his union dues that opted out of the union, but the union had to always protect him because it's almost like a law case that when something happens somewhere else, they can use it, you know, Article 3. And in our case, it was LeVar Arrington that would never pay his union dues because he didn't want to be part of the union, but the union had to protect him anyway, and he would do things and not adhere to what the union, you know, wanted him to do because technically he wasn't part of the union, but the union still had to protect him because they can use that case against other players. Now, George Hill is saying, listen, why can I sit up here and sweat on a dude, defensive, clamp him up, lock him up, you know what I'm saying, pick and roll, all that type of stuff, but then I can't talk to him afterwards, after the fact. Now, this was the same argument that a lot of NFL players use about the whole exchanging jersey thing after the game. Here's why it's a little different, right? When you talk about, you know, basketball, you're running up back and forth, but you guys aren't conversating. You aren't in each other's face, you know, less than 6 feet for more than 15 minutes because you're constantly moving, running. So maybe the virus doesn't get opportunity. And who knows, they probably got the HEPA filters in that's cleaning the air constantly at the same time. So you guys aren't breathing the same air. When you guys decide to fraternize and talk to each other afterwards, you guys are in a close space. You guys are not moving and running around. So now you guys are talking. So now the chances of maybe getting sick is a lot higher than others. So, you know, sometimes you need to educate the players and talk to them. And I could be dead wrong. I don't know. This is just me with a hypothesis that maybe that's the reasons why they don't want them sitting talking because they're in close proximity to each other. But it's going to be a tough thing. And the players should have the option to opt out and maybe come back after March, when I believe that we'll be at a place in this country where enough people have been vaccinated that private companies can purchase some of the vaccine for themselves, and the NBA is probably going to be first in line.
Dr. Bart Fauci.
I stay
right here on the show.
Stayed at Holiday Inn Express.
Breaking it down for
their
us
sponsor?
On audio files.
They need to be one.
Toyota was another one you brought up, right? We're gonna beg.
Hey, yeah,
we're getting desert
everybody.
Thirsty for the sponsorship. There's no doubt.
I'm thirsty as hell right now. Look, I ain't even showed the people what I'm drinking because they ain't putting cheese in our taco.
Listen, I don't like doing shows from home. I prefer doing shows with you in the studio. The chemistry's way better. The connection's way better. It's more fun, everything. I don't want to. But ESPN says, for the most part, you got to be at home.
Yeah.
You know, unless we can create a situation like they did for us this week, which is great. that we can do this and socially distance.
Trizzle.
But it's not going to be every day until we can get back to normal. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I didn't sign up for this, but it's part of the deal. Okay, well, this is what we'll have to do.
If you want to fret,
and that's part of the job. And if you don't want to, your alternative is don't play.
Or go to the big three.
Or go to the big three. There's that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so coming up, we do have divisional round football coming up this week. And get a lot into it now. The next couple of days, we'll break down those games. But there's one player that's got to get it done. One player that this could be his year to get it done and set his legacy. Who is it? We'll tell you next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Han Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. You know, we didn't mention it, but the NHL begins today.
Let's do that hockey.
Hockey's back. 56-game season. Today's games, I think, what is it, how many games today? Five games today, I believe. One of them is the is Flyers-Penguins. So it's all rivalries, by the way. 5:30. 5:30. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say?
We just flatline.
Come
you don't
on
do
now.
That hockey.
It's,
you
no.
don't do that.
You got, we got to at least mention it. Okay. Islanders-Rangers tomorrow. I'm fired up for some hockey here.
I'm
Come
just
on.
Playing.
How dare you?
Let's do
all right,
hockey.
Quickly, though. It's time for Getting It Done, brought to you by Grainger. So you have the number one offense in the Green Bay Packers versus the number one defense in the L.A. Rams, and you've got Aaron Rodgers. And to me, Aaron Rodgers has got to get it done.
Yeah.
After, you know, what the Rams defense did to the Seahawks, right? They shut that down. So that's what I want to see. But this is a great stat. New York Times had this. Aaron Rodgers threw more touchdowns, 48, than his team punted. 47.
That just tells you how bad the division is. No, I'm just playing. But this is going to be an intriguing game because this is where we're going to figure out if what Green Bay did in the offseason is going to come back and rear its ugly head, because they decided not to go out and get him any weapons. They didn't make the Will Fuller trade go through. And now you have an eraser in Ramsey that can take away Devontae Adams, who has been dominating everybody. If Ramsey is able to take him away, then what does that leave? That leaves a bunch of average receivers that then you're going to ask Aaron Rodgers to promote and make and elevate and make better.
Yeah, look, we're going to break down more of the divisional round of the next couple of days. Every single game just into a fine powder. We're going to break this thing down, as Michael Kay always likes to say. That'll all be coming up. And with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is always there to help. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or just stop by. That is just one of what's going to be an exciting weekend, no doubt about it. Hockey starts today. NBA drama, so much to do. This was a lot of fun. We'll see you tomorrow, Bart.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Han, the podcast.